But as you'll see, if you come this Wednesday at 8 o'clock to Boylston Auditorium, and this is another one of those must-see things where my feelings will be hurt if I don't see you there, you'll see that this film is directly concerned with this Greek word, and this Greek word is directly concerned with the whole Odyssey, not just today's lecture, but all the lectures on the Odyssey. Do you know what this word means, kubernetes? It's pilot helmsman, as in pilot helmsman of a ship. When the Romans borrowed this word for pilot, helmsman of a ship, it came through. Well, that's because there was Etruscan intermediacy. You don't have to know about that. It came through as gubernator. What interests me for the specific moment, as I continue to harp on how important it is to see this film this Wednesday, gubernator means not just the pilot or helmsman of a ship, it means the leader of a government. And this is why the English word governor, and even more important, government, are derived from gubernator and indirectly from kubernetes. While I'm on the Greek, can you think of sort of pseudo-scientific and even scientific borrowings from kubernetes in English? You know, like, what is it, cybernetics? Can we say that? Cybernauts, that's science fiction. Cyborg, that's science fiction. But in any case, all of these images have to do with having your bearings, with getting your bearings. And remember the last time we saw that there's nothing more frightening in the Odyssey than the idea of Odysseus, the captain of the ship, losing his bearings. That if you lose your bearings, if you no longer know where the east and the west are, in other words, if you're disoriented, then you cannot make it back home because you don't have the mind to make it back home. So I can't emphasize enough how important it is to see Odysseus, this hero of the epic that we're reading now, as a kubernetes, as a pilot, as somebody who can guide the ship. And of course we understand, I hope, that when we say ship, there is a subtext. And the subtext is ship of state. That is to say, the ship is the metaphor for the state, the government, so to speak. And I bet half of you are government concentrators. All right, let's say a third of you. And I don't know why, but, you know, I'm sure there's a good reason, right? Little joke. But I want you to say proudly when people ask you what your concentration is, I'm a government concentrator, and the metaphor of government is the Odyssey. It is the Odyssey. And this is where the whole concept of government came from. And so I also want to dedicate this lecture to Joyce. I've decided that if a student asks a really good question, I should dedicate the next lecture to that student. So, Joyce, you're sitting there, and this is dedicated to you because of your question about the agenda of the Iliad and the Odyssey combined. Because just as I'm saying to you that the subtext of the Odyssey is not ship, but ship of state, so also I can say that the subtext of the Iliad and the Odyssey combined is the state. And you're saying, how can that be? What is represented in the Iliad and the Odyssey goes back to a time of heroes before there was a state. And yes, that is the notion of both the Iliad and the Odyssey, that this happened in a time before there were states. Nevertheless, the composition of the Iliad and the Odyssey is constantly elaborating on agenda having to do with state. So it's like the state is covering its tracks. It's as if you can say, well, on the surface, it's just about a pilot and a ship, but underneath the surface, it's the captain of the ship of state. And about Joyce's question, she was asking, well, given that the Iliad and the Odyssey are so different in the kind of heroes they feature as their number one characters, given that, how can I, the teacher, reconcile morally the different moralities of Achilles in the Iliad and Odysseus in the Odyssey? And since I was so busy talking to you about initiation, about seeing the deeper meaning of things the last time, I could even tell you that, in a sense, the Iliad and the Odyssey are initiations into, here it comes, the number one subtext, which is the state, which is the city-state. So you think you're talking about heroes, and you are, but underneath the surface, the political and moral agenda have to do with how can you be a good citizen in a state, in a republic? And how can you be just? And how can you be morally on the right track? To me, that is the subtext of both the Iliad and the Odyssey. And if I were to ask, well, what's the mystical answer? The mystical answer is that if you're only an Achilles type, or if you're only an Odysseus type, you're in a sense too one-sided, and that you have to have both. You have to have both aspects to understand what it is to be a member of society. And this all goes back to the beautiful formulation of Aristotle, which we always misunderstand, and this is dedicated to all you government concentrators, where Aristotle says, when he's asked to define what is a human being, and he says a human being is an organism of the state, an organism of the polis, P-O-L-I-S. And of course, when we say polis, that's the word that gives us political. And what's the bad translation? The bad translation is, man is a political animal. And then you think of politicians and you start having these very narrow takes on what Aristotle's definition is. Aristotle is saying that a human achieves his or her fullest potential in the state. And we may disagree with him, but that's what he says. And going back to Joyce's question and my answer, I would say, if you want to know what the rock-bottom agenda of both the Iliad and the Odyssey are, in the way they contrast the Iliad and the Achilles and Odysseus as their main heroes, I would say that is how to be a member of society. So that's the initiation. But in order to get initiated, you have to have your bearings, and I come back to this word, kubernetes, pilot, the one who has his bearings, and I get back to the film. Here's the title, Map of the Human Heart. I really want you to see this. Map of the Human Heart is about an Eskimo warrior, or to be more correct in describing him culturally, an Inuit warrior during World War II, who happens to be a bomber pilot. And in the story, he grows up as an orphan who is very lonely for his parents, and he meets a little girl who's also an orphan and lonely for her parents. And they're both tuberculosis victims, which means they go through enormous amounts of suffering, or if I could say it in Greek, pornoi, at the beginning of the narrative. And their suffering bonds them together. Now, yes, you know, you can sort of tell that by the time World War II happens, they're lovers. But let's go back to their childhood. I think the key prop, if I can say it that way, is an x-ray that was taken of the little girl because she is tubercular, and an x-ray that the little boy steals from the hospital records. Why? Because in Inuit culture, if you're really perceptive, if you know your bearings, if you know how the world turns, so to speak, you have to be able to look inside somebody and see their true essence. So that's why the title of this narrative is